Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I just wanted to share that I've always wanted to get an answer from those who have a disability and they seem to suffer. So I teach these students who are mild to severe. And if you have like cerebral palsy, it's me who takes care of your bathroom needs. And then I'll cut your food, wipe your face, and all these things. So one day I asked these three men, and they're all different age group. So I just wanted to know for myself about their view of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll ask them a private question, and I'll say, hey, you know who changes you, right? He said, yeah, you, Mr. Joe. And they go, thank you. And then I say, well, you know, you do suffer, right? He says, yeah. I said, well, what do you think of life? He says, it's good. Every single one of those men, from their perspective, even though they have to be taken care of, saw life as something worth living.
Yeah.
And you would think it would just be the opposite because they suffer so much and we have to do things for them. So I did that little anecdotal survey and I was surprised. I thought I'd just get the opposite answer, but not a single one of them hated their life. They love it.
No, and the disability rights, you know, groups, they revile, you know, someone like Peter Singer, who says that those people should be killed, euthanized, aborted. They say our lives have value. We enjoy our lives. We're grateful for our lives. And suffering, you know, for Orthodox Christian, suffering offers us an opportunity to be closer to Christ.
Yeah.
You are suffering. And I don't want to change the subject, but I just, you know, talking about doing things, everybody please grab one. It has a little suggestion for something you might want to do just to get started with some pro-life. Just a little baby step, so to speak. And there is a little treat in there. So you guys be sure to grab one on the way out. And also on the way out, there's a table with some brochures. If you, some brochures and some beautiful pro-life or sanctity of life icons, there's a kind of a proliferation of those. That's another good way to be a gentle and loving presence for the sanctity of life teachings by displaying these icons in our Sunday schools and church halls or in our homes. They're good ways to start conversations. You want to pass them? Are there any other comments or questions? Yeah.
Are you familiar with Real Options, the organization? They're in the South Bay.
A little bit, not too much. Where I live, we have options for women. They might be related to each other. And you know, I have to say, with the one in Oakland, it's not really clear to me whether or not they support abortion or not. And this is kind of a thing with crisis pregnancy centers. So I do recommend kind of testing it out. You know, they are desperate to get women in because they want to save lives, but a lot of times there's a little bit of advertising. They've been just pummeled by this in media and by comedians and stuff. And actually there's a vein of truth to that. So this is an area to grapple with. They're by far, I'm not criticizing them at all, but this is the problem with the abortion issue is that when there's so much persuasion going on, persuasion goes overboard to the point of inaccuracy. It's really hard to find accuracy in almost every aspect of it. But yes, check them out. Take them to some volunteer. They oftentimes have, I know they have some really small commitments, so it's really doable. They just want to get people in and just do a little bit and do it with love.
So how do you check them out? What do you watch out for?
Well,
what do you look for?
Oh, well, you know, okay, I'll be quite frank. What I'm going to do, so I discovered where I live in Oakland, and there's this crisis pregnancy center that in the past was definitely equivocal. Now it's under new management, and they're back to being against abortion for sure and helping women totally move away from that. But because the messaging seems unclear, I'm actually going to do a call, my own little call campaign, and just say, you know, do you guys offer abortions? And just see what they say. How do they handle that in a misleading way? I mean, I want to know, because I think this is an issue that we want to clear this up. Abortion, a crisis resource centers, you know, they need to be honest, and by and large they are. But this is where, like, our side of it, it seems like we have to have the ultimate integrity, or we just really get bashed on every little thing. And I think the other side would say they do that to us, you know. So the very beginning of the presentation, we had the where they rams blocking their their horns, and so it's trying to rise above that with love.
I'm wondering about what's the role that men play, and, you know, on one hand there's the narrative of, you know, men telling women about asserting control over their bodies and saying, you know, the anti-abortion thing is run by men who want to control women. The other thing, you know, that you mentioned was that, like, a majority of women, something like 60% or more, say that the most important factor in their decision to get an abortion was the father, was the influence of the father. I mean, what should be done there? What kind of interventions in terms of, like, awareness and changing attitudes?
Yeah. So to the first part, it's a myth that the pro-life movement is majority old white men. It's really majority women, and there's a lot of young people. And so I think that the problem that fathers have is that they don't have legal rights. So there was a video of a guy, you know, just bawling outside an abortion clinic, wailing and begging the woman don't kill our baby. And you periodically see that. And it just shows there's the powerlessness. So within our churches, though, you know, and as a Christian, fathers have the responsibility, and so that might be an area to, you know, as long as abortion is a constitutional right, and you know, it's going to affect women's equality, you know, it's going to be tough.
But I guess what I'm talking about is the opposite thing about, you know, men who are encouraging their partners to have an abortion. It seems like that's a really important, you know, and then women keep making that decision. And
yeah.
What kind of outreach and efforts can be done to just change men's attitude about the
Right. Well, there is a percentage of men who, you know, who support abortion because it gives them freedom too. Freedom is for men too. So I don't have a good answer to that, to change. You know, I think we can honor fatherhood. I have seen, like, billboards, you know, real men love babies. These kind of meme kind of things are actually really powerful. They're really true. Real men love babies. I think how we raise our own kids, I think how we, and the men that we know, that we build, you know, men build up other men, support them. Does anybody else have other ideas? Yeah.
But it's not only, like, actively sending women to the clinic, but it can be just neglecting her. Provide for family, neglecting her.
But this is that whole thing about what Roe versus Wade did, like Frederica Matthews Green said. It creates this chasm, it shatters the relationships, so that the woman is isolated. It gives the men, the laws push them out, and the laws give them permission to go out, even when they have misgivings, even if they want to be involved. So there's so many ways that men are pushed out. It's hard, and to flip that around, and I'm sorry I don't have a more proactive, did you have an idea of promoting the values of fatherhood? I mean, we honor fatherhood.
There has to be more love. That's it. People have to love more.
Yeah.
Men more loving.
We have to respect men in general. I mean, there's a lot of disrespect of men going on in the society in general, and we just can't stand for that, you know? We just have to correct people when they're ridiculing men. We don't support the shows that are ridiculing men and fathers. There's so much out there. I know, I've kind of stopped watching all of that, but I know that it's going on, and we can't support that. Maybe we can write a play, write a movie, write a book, write children's stories, things that promote, to try and counter some of that. Unfortunately, there's always this back and forth. I don't have an answer for that either, except generally as Christians, we need to rise above and not despair, work in our communities and live our Christian lives, and work in our spheres of influence, at the very least.
Well, I think also that all the messages that we're saying to the mother we need to say that to young men too.
Yeah.
You know, because like,
yes,
the
thank
young
you.
Man isn't going to be pregnant, but pregnancy lasts for 9 months, and then after that, you have 18 years of the dad needs just as much help as the mom, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So when we're saying all this stuff to young women, we'll support you, you know, and it's not just about young women, you know?
Yeah,
so
we,
if you have,
right.
Like, you know, like if you have somebody where, let's say there's a dad and he has a baby mama, for lack of a better word, and everyone at the church knows that, but the woman isn't affiliated with the church, just say, hey, you know, like, if you need to, if you're the mother of your child needs to do something, we can help with the child, you know.
Yeah, and
they, you know,
part of supporting a mother is going to be finding out who, what's going on with the father, and trying to reach out to the father and bring him in. That should always be part of it. So I'm really glad that you brought that up, because we don't want to perpetuate that isolation and the pushing out of the fathers by helping the mother so much. We have to at least make the attempt to bring the father into it. And so that's why we really need men, and we need men and women in this work.